Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri. Welcome to the Chaz Palminteri Podcast. Before we get into the show today, don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe. If you have a question for me when we do our Neighborhood Logic, you don't have to see a shrink. Come to me. Neighborhood Logic takes care of the whole thing. Okay, you can just email chazpalminterishow@gmail.com. chazpalminterishow@gmail.com. Also, don't forget my one-man show, A Bronx Tale, will be going on tour starting in July. If you want to know the dates, just go to chazpalminteri.net. And it's my whole tour schedule for this year and next year. And we'll be all over the United States, so maybe a city near you. So please check that out. Or you can go to my Instagram, and my dates are on there too, on my Twitter. So I'm very excited today. We have a gentleman who is truly a great artist, great singer, great songwriter. And he came in and he actually auditioned for the national tour of A Bronx Tale and came in and got the part of my dad, Lorenzo. Excuse me. So not only is he a great singer, a really, really wonderful actor. And let me tell you a little bit about him. I want to give him a nice little introduction. Nick was born in Guilford, Connecticut. He rose to regional attention as the lead singer in a pop rock group band called Beach Avenue when they won the Battle of the Bands at Mohegan Sun in 2011. He gained national recognition in 2014 when he competed the ninth season of the show America's Got Talent. Then in 2015, Nick entered as a solo singer in his 14th season of American Idol, and he won it. He won American Idol. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Nick Fratiani. Nick.
What's up, bud?
How are you, bro?
Good to see you.
Okay, so first of all, I have to get into this American Idol thing for one second.
All right.
So what's that like, winning American Idol? I mean,
it's pretty crazy. It was a wild experience.
So this was the 14th season. So you were watching it on TV, right?
My mother used to watch it a lot, and I remember watching the early years with like Kelly Clarkson and Ruben started. I remember I'd seen that, and then I didn't watch it for a while, but my mother would always have it on, and I would always look at it and go, that would be pretty cool, you know, to maybe do
and
it.
And your mother follows you. Why don't you get on there?
She would say,
they always do that. Why don't you be?
That.
You should be on there.
She was the one that convinced me to audition, truly, was my mother. Yeah, I didn't want to. Like you had mentioned, I had done America's Got Talent literally a year before that, 2014. I was in a band.
So you were like, I don't know.
Well, we got cut. So we got through. We auditioned in front of, this is on America's Got Talent. We got through and we got a standing ovation from, you know, Heidi Klum and Howard Stern and all this stuff. And I thought I made it then. I go, we're going to win. And then the next week later, they cut us. And I came home. And I said, I'll never do another reality show. And then about 9 months later, I got an email from a producer that was on America's Got Talent that also worked for Idol. And they said, you know, if you want, you could, you know, we'll let you get in, you know, don't have to wait through the lines. We'll get you like,
wow, that's great.
And so I said, I can't do that. I'm in a band and I'm not going to, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And my mother looked at me like I was crazy and said, you're doing it.
She's crazy.
You're doing it. And I,
she was absolutely right.
She was absolutely right.
When there's an
right.
opportunity. And I always tell people that when there's an opportunity in this business, a window opens, you go through it. Sometimes you have to disappoint people. Mm-hmm. You have to. But you know what? That's the difference of somebody who gets there and somebody who doesn't.
Yeah.
Period. You made the right decision. Nothing, you came up with those guys, it was great. But the times you got to go, you know what? I got to do this.
Right.
And if they're your friends, real friends would say, go, man, go.
And they did eventually. I mean, it was kind of a thing in my head. I didn't think I was going to win. In my head, I said, well, maybe I'll go on and I'll get a little recognition and then that would help my band. I could go back. And then long story short, though, I won. And then they still played the two guys that I was in the band with still played a lot of shows with me after the fact, you know, as my band, even though I was a solo artist.
Right.
So that was really cool. And the one guy, Nick, his another Nick, we still write songs together and play music.
But you see, that's what I mean. When you're happy for someone, you enjoy their success and your success goes with it.
For sure.
As opposed to people who just go, you know what, no, I don't want, they're mad at you. They're mad at you for what?
Right.
Success?
Right.
What are they mad at you for?
I think it was they were. I think they were. There was a little time where I think there was some hostility. Luckily, though, when you're on Idol or any of those things, you're away. You know what I mean? I was gone for 9-10 months, and so by the time it all became a reality that I won, it kind of had calmed down, and I think they saw they were happy for me.
I have a question for you about Idol. I've been a big fan forever of that show.
Yeah.
Now, are the train wrecks planned? Those like train wreck auditions?
I have a good story about that. Not a lot of people know this, but I auditioned for Idol when I was younger, when I was 21. So I won as the oldest you could possibly be. 28 was the cutoff. I was
first
the oldest
from the Northeast too,
and the first right because they always tell you to go up here from for sure. Everybody said, "Oh, you're from Connecticut, New York area. Nah, you're not gonna win. You got to be Midwest, whatever." Right. But I was the first. But anyways, 21 years old, I auditioned. I auditioned with a friend of mine at Giant where the Giants play in New Jersey
at Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
And I wait in line. We wait in line for hours and hours, and I go with a friend of mine. He is kind of a funny guy, jokester. Long story short, he goes, "I have something planned, Nick. I'm going to audition as well." So we wait in these long lines. He gets up. He wore like a Speedo with like rip-off pants, you know, like the basketball players wear when you whip. And he, in the middle of the audition, he rips his pants off and starts singing the Beach Boys, and he's going, like, doing this crazy dance. I go up later on, sing. They say no to me. They put him through because they wanted him to do that on TV. So I had to go home, and he was like, "I guess I'm going to stay, Nick." And I said, "No, we're leaving. Like, I just got cut, and it's not happening." So long story short, they do plan him. They want those people to do that. I think more recently, they try to do less and less of those kind of embarrassing ones, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, why are they even listening to this person? Why are they showing them?
I don't know. People love it. People love watching people train love wrecks sometimes.
I know, but it does hurt the credibility of it sometimes. Someone who's really good. Now, you've been in music your whole life. I mean, your dad was a musician, right?
Yeah, still is. Still plays.
Still plays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think he's more passionate about music now than he's been playing since he was 14 years old. So he loves it. I think sometimes I even say to him, "I wish I loved music as much as you do." And he goes, "You'll get there," because it's so important to him. I think the older he gets, the more he realizes how important it is to him.
Well, he sees his success and your success.
Yeah.
Because you're part of him.
Yeah. He said you that know, when I won. It was an emotional time for him to kind of see it all, you know, go the way it did.
So there was music. Was there always music in the house, obviously?
Constantly. When I grew up, it was Beatles, Billy Joel,
Billy
James
Joel,
Taylor.
Who's going to be on the show.
Exactly. Okay. And just the fact that I'm a guest on the same podcast that Billy Joel will be a guest on is amazing. But
yes, and my next door, one of my neighbors will be a guest, Rob Thomas.
That's right.
You sang with Rob, right?
I did. Rob Thomas was a huge, huge influence musically for me growing up as well. And on Idol, a lot of the judges would mention it, but sometimes I grew up listening to him so much that I emulated a lot of what he did without even really realizing it.
Right.
And he's a tremendous songwriter. But we got to sing together. I sang one of his songs on Idol, and then we've performed. I've written with some other guys in Matchbox 20. And
wow, that's great.
Yeah, but he's a great guy.
He's a great guy, yeah, and a really great writer and a great singer.
Talented guy.
Now, you talk about influences. I know my son who plays... His big influence was John Mayer. He just loves John Mayer. So I think it's okay to have influences, but then you end up making it your own somehow.
For sure. That's what you have to do. I mean, John Mayer was another one for me. He's actually, I don't think I've ever gone to more concerts than John Mayer. I think I've seen him about 8 times. I've seen your son. You could see some of that, the way he plays the guitar.
Right.
But it's true. You want to take a little bit and then kind of make it your own.
Now, growing up, you're from Massachusetts, right?
No, I went to school in Massachusetts from Connecticut.
Yeah, but you're from Connecticut. Right. You went to school in Massachusetts.
Right.
Connecticut.
Yep.
Where, New Haven?
Right. I was born in New Haven.
So you know Pepe's, Frank Pepe's, the pizza?
No, never heard of it. Of course I know, Frank. Please, that one street, the best Sally's, Sally's and Pepe's. I mean, it's a battle. Have you ever had Sally's too?
I never had Sally's.
You'd love Sally's.
I always go to Pepe's.
Pepe's is the best.
I always go to Pepe's, but I never had Sally's. People tell you about Sally's, but I always go to Pepe's because every time I go, I say, should I try? Oh, but I want Pepe's. Yeah, and I go to Pepe's. I was just there 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were coming back.
Oh, I saw that, but you weren't in the New Haven one, right? Did you go to
We went to...
They have them all over now.
Yeah, there's three of them. And but they're great. All three of them are great, I got to say. So what's coming up for you? What are you doing right now?
Well, the last major thing was the national tour of A Bronx Tale, which was what an amazing experience that was.
That must have been fun.
I've had the time of my life with it. I was it was a stressful time. You know how nervous I was about, because I had
you
never
were
done
very
it.
Nervous,
I was,
yes.
Yeah. And you kind of calmed my nerves a couple times and just said, listen, it's written well. Just learn the words and sing. He goes, you could sing, right? Can you sing? I was like, I hope I could sing. Yeah, I could sing.
I said,
you won
American Idol. You could sing, right? Yes. Yeah. Just say the words. Don't worry. And was I right?
Yeah, you were right.
All you have to do, and I always tell all the actors that come there, not saying anything against, not making the actors smaller, just saying to them, we hired you because you're a really good actor. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. Just say the words. The laughs will be there. Because,
I was so nervous that day because I auditioned in front of you. That was the second audition. So I had come in once already.
And then you met, was Bob there too?
No.
Bob wasn't there. Okay.
Jerry Zaks was there. Jerry Zaks. You were there. Yeah, and I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I'm a diehard Yankee fan like I know you are. And I remember the Yankees were, it was an afternoon audition. And I said, just so you know, as I walked out, I said, just so you know, Luke Voit just hit a home run. We're up 2-1 or something. And you're
No, I was happy to hear that. But I've always been, I've just been a diehard Yankee fan.
Oh, that's my two passions in life. I'm serious. Are the Yankees and my music. That's the two. Like, if you ask anybody about me, that's what they'll
tell me. My friend who, it's hard. He passed away from COVID. My best friend.
I saw that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, bad. And he wanted the inside of... his coffin and the incident to be pinstripes.
Oh, I love that.
We couldn't do it because of COVID.
Right.
Him and I are like, forget it. Die hard.
Die hard.
So are you writing now? You got some new stuff
now
coming out?
Yeah. I have my next single is coming out on June 4th. I think it's the first Friday of June. And I'm looking at my girlfriend and hope I have the right date.
Yes. And wait a minute. You met your girlfriend, Lauren, from Bronx Tale.
Yep, my girlfriend.
Who's a wonderful dancer, singer. Absolutely.
Now, do you know her story?
No.
Do you know? So she, talk about taking a chance. So she, as a freshman or sophomore in college, took a trip to Italy with her dance team that she was in college with. Goes out there and these people are watching the dance competition or something. I'm going to butcher this story. And they ask Lauren to participate in this show in Italy called Amici. So it's like Amici's like America's Got Talent of Italy. She'd have to drop out of college, go to Italy. She does it. She leaves. She goes to Italy.
She leaves college.
Leaves college.
Like, get Lauren in it. Bring the sheet over just a little bit. Go ahead.
Come on.
Just for a second. Yeah, come on. Tell the story for a second. Go ahead. Come on, Lauren. Just
we can see you're small.
You just screen
it. I knew he was
going to. All right, it's okay. Right. Don't worry. So you went to Italy.
She goes to Italy.
I moved to Italy, age of 19, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And basically a reality TV show, dancers and singers. And I ended up being there for 9 months, winning the dance category.
The first American to win. She learned Italian.
Became fluent in Italian.
Fluent in Italian.
I didn't know a word when I went.
Isn't that crazy?
I say this. Here's two people here, right? And I tell this to all the young actors, singers, dancers. You got to show up. Life is about showing up. If you don't show up, if he listened to his band and didn't listen to his mom, take the chance. If she didn't listen, go to Italy. Nothing would happen. Their lives would be different now. Show up.
True.
So you won the contest.
Yeah, I won the dance category, and I ended up being there for 11 months in total, and just like complete. I mean, they had millions of viewers, millions. Like, I had no idea, and just I had crowds of fans chasing me.
I was in New York. We're in Times Square. Right. It was in February, so we were still on. It was a little. Remember, we had that little hiatus break from A Bronx Tale. So I won American Idol. I thought some people should have recognized me here and there. We're at some store in Urban Outfitters, and I see all these people looking, and they're speaking Italian, and they're looking, and I'm like, so they come over to me, they go, can you take a picture? That's Lauren Salentano. And I'm taking pictures.
Louden.
I'm like, do you guys know me? No? All right. So So yeah, she's it's pretty crazy.
Take a picture.
That was like humbling.
It was, yeah.
Right? Oh yeah. My wife and I were in Italy, and I had a film opening there, and we got into an argument in the piazza, the big piazza that her and I were arguing. So I said, "No, you're wrong about that." And all of a sudden, this guy comes over to me with a camera. Back then, yeah, the camera, not the phone. Mm-hmm. And he went, "Picture." Italian guy. And I went, "Not now. I can't do it now." I said, "Please, not now. I'm just picture." So finally, I go, "Okay." So I stand over here like this, right? And he goes, "Picture." And my wife goes, "Honey, he wants you to take a picture of him and his wife." I had no idea who I was.
That's good.
That's right.
So he hands me the thing. Is him and his wife is trying to stand by the fountain, and I'm like this. And I snapped the picture. He goes, "Oh,
that
gosh,
guy only knew." That's amazing.
I took
that's
the picture. My wife and I started laughing and calmed everything down. All right. So
I do have one question for both of you. When you go to audition and you're so afraid, what is it you're really afraid of going into these auditions?
That's a great question.
I think I'll speak for myself, but I know this is a relatable thing. It's just you want to be what they're looking for. And so you're just constantly questioning, what did they want me to be like? What did they want me to do? What are they wanting? And it's like, you just have to be yourself. And then if you're not right for it, you're not right for it. But
that's good.
You can't fit into what, right, they're looking for.
Yeah.
All right.
I think for me, it's just something I'm not totally comfortable yet. Acting is still like a,
right,
it's still a new thing. If somebody tells me to go sing in front of somebody, I don't really get that nervous. But if you tell me to act, right, I start getting nervous. So I think for me, it's just not wanting to make a fool out of myself. So, but you have to like let your inhibitions go as an actor, and that's something I'm trying to realize. Like, you don't have to be. You're not you. You're playing a part, and it's like just letting go a little bit. It's like what makes me nervous.
Fantastic.
You know,
I remember at the Bronx Tale audition, I heard rumors that Chaz was going to be in the room. Did you hear Chaz will be in there?
Can you just hold the mic closer? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was like, everyone's saying Chaz is going to be in there. I heard it. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. So I go in the room and he's not there. And I'm like, okay, I knew he wasn't going to be here. Like, there's no way. And I'm about to start. I'm about to open my mouth and the door creaks open.
Chaz, so he was at your audition too?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, I go to every audition.
Oh, yeah, wow. He creaks open.
You're in my show. I go to your audition. I watch.
And they're like, Chaz, this is Lauren. He says, hi, Lauren. I'm like, hi, Chaz.
That was one of the big, the one thing I was impressed about was how hands-on you were in our tour. It was really cool. I think it made everybody want to, at least for me, and I think everybody felt that way, like seeing you who wrote the story still so invested in it made us want to do such a better job and put ourselves in the role so much. Like, I was honored to play your dad, and I think everybody wanted to like do that. Everybody wanted to really give it all they had, and it showed. I think that I wish we got to do that show more.
That show would still be running if it wasn't for COVID.
I know. It was going strong. I loved our cast. Ugh, I wish we can do it again.
We have a couple cast members in the show in Florida.
Yeah, do you know they're doing it in Florida right now?
Yes,
in Fort Myers. So yes, a couple of the guys are a couple of the.
That's going to be going on. Bronx Tale will be on. My children will be reaping the rewards for Bronx Tale.
100%.
So, you know what? Let me finish talking with Nick.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
That was wonderful. Hi. Thank you so much. Tell us, Nick, what's happening now? What's coming up?
Well, I'm back in the studio with my friends and guys that I've been writing with for years. So we're starting that process again. So I have a new single coming out. It's called Never Gonna. I'm putting that out the first week of June, first Friday of June, June 4th. So I'm excited, you know, I'm just ready to get new music out there, hopefully start playing some shows. Right. I'm actually doing an interesting thing. I'm going to Texas for Fort Worth for a month in June, from June 15th to about the end of June. I'm a big Neil Diamond fan. I don't know if you knew. It's my first ever concert I went to as a kid was
really?
Neil Diamond. And so they're doing these I'm basically singing his songs at a theater in Casa Manana in Fort Worth, and I'm doing about 2 weeks of that.
Right.
And then
if somebody wants to know where you are, they want to come and see you live, where should they go?
If you just go to either my Instagram, and then you could follow my website through there. It's just nickfradiani.com. You could see tour dates and but yeah, I'm hoping more and more things start opening up. Usually the summer, I usually do some outdoor stuff, so I'm sure things will be coming.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things, when you got on the tour of A Bronx Tale, I didn't realize, you know, that so many people knew who you were from American Idol, but a lot of people came to the show.
Yeah.
Said, oh yeah, he won American Idol. Oh yeah. And it was really nice for them to see you do act.
Yeah, and it was so different. You know? And it was such a different thing for them to see, especially a lot of the people that did follow. And the one thing that was cool was so many people know that movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's, God, yeah.
So it was cool to... and a lot of my fans that I feel like all knew, you know, they all knew it and they were all so excited when it was that, when I announced that I was playing.
I mean, you have that great closing number in act one, you know, these streets.
I don't miss holding that last note out sometimes. I'd be exhausted, but, that was such a powerful song. It was a powerful role, you know, it was a really cool role to play. I absolutely loved it. And it was cool to be able to, you know, for those of you who don't know, if you're watching this and don't know A Bronx Tale, then I don't know. That's very confusing to me. So you know the story. And it was just cool to be able to interact with the kid, you know, because Closure was played by two different people. I'd have my young son in act one, and then by the middle of it, it was my adult son. And it was just such a cool, show.
It's such I don't know. To me, I'm so proud that I wrote it and I wrote this thing from my heart, and here it was, a one-man show to a movie to a musical.
Never ends. It keeps going.
It just keeps going.
It's amazing. You know? I watched that show with my father. Never forget it. I'll always remember that. Because I used to think I looked like the little actor. When I was a little kid, if you see pictures of me with like my dad, and I looked like that little actor. And so I used to always just, me and my dad would watch it constantly. Yeah. And then I still remember getting the email when they wanted me to audition. And I think I've told this story a couple times, but I thought they wanted me for Closure, because I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, I could play a young guy, right?
No, no. Then all of a sudden, somebody young.
But you know who originally I was supposed to read for? Sonny. Did you know that? Yeah, they wanted me to read for Sonny, and I tried it, and I was like, I can't do that. And they also gave me Lorenzo to look at.
Right.
And right away, I was just like, the music, everything. I felt Lorenzo right away. Yeah. I knew
Sonny's
it.
Sonny's totally different.
Yeah, it's a hard, that's a hard role to play, too.
It's a hard role to play, because you have... You just have, you know, it's just one of those things. Vocally, Lorenzo fits you much better.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Sonny is, you know, you got to be funny. You got to be threatening. You got to be mean. You got to be crazy.
That's the tough line to walk with Sonny is you have to have that fearful. You have to be fearful of him, but you also got to love him.
But you got
to
love him.
It's a tough line.
You have to be very, very careful.
Yeah. It's a great character.
But it's a great character. That's why. I wrote it for myself.
Yeah, no, that's why you knew you wanted to play.
Folks, I wrote it.
You're a smart guy. Yeah,
you know. Anyway, this is about you.
And, I know. I get fascinated because I'm a fan of you in the show, so sometimes I want to bring it up.
And we're closing out, but tell me when you got the part, when you knew you got it. Was your mother and father excited? Were they waiting to hear what happened?
Yeah, I mean, they really were. We were all kind of waiting. And they actually waited a little bit before they told me. I thought I was going to get it because when I got the second call back, and I thought I did pretty decent in the audition, and I was confident, but I wanted to know. I really wanted to know. And they waited. They made me wait about like 10 days before they told me I got it.
Well, because the reason why they make you wait 10 days is because... We have to make sure if there's anyone else.
For sure.
I mean, that's how hard it is. And I tell all these actors, it's so hard to get a part. And if you don't get it, don't worry. It's type. I tell this great story. We had, we had, I don't know if you guys know, but there was dancers and we had three dancers. And then one of the actors in the show, his wife was a Broadway dancer. Mm-hmm. They were together. Oh, that was the.
Is that the
that was Broadway? The national tour.
Oh, okay.
The first tour.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, my wife just finished the show on Broadway. She's available. Now, we had this one girl's face right there. She was going to be one of the girls, right? Mm-hmm. And when she said that, we all looked at each other and said, she's available because his wife is great.
Yeah.
So we took her picture. We got his wife, took that girl.
So that girl had
a part.
Wow.
She had the part. Yeah. She was going.
Right.
And just like that, when she got available,
boom.
Because we wanted both of them to be together, he said, can I be with my wife? And it's not like his wife wasn't great. She was great.
Right.
She was really great. Right. So, but that's how quick it happens.
During COVID, you know, a lot of self-tapes I've been sending in, and sometimes you think you got it, and then, sometimes it is. It's just
don't ever think you got it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Don't ever think you got it. What you have to, I always tell my actors when I teach the class and how to audition, and I do private things, coaching online, is never think you got it. Just say to yourself, I know I nailed it.
Right.
If you know you nailed it, folks, that means that's all you can do. Because if you think you got it, you're going to torture yourself.
You are.
Because when you don't get it, it's that much harder to come back for the next one.
Right. You got to let it. You got to let those. You got to let it go. Move on to the next one.
A quick thing about people who say they got it. I got off a plane once. I was not famous. I was in my 20s in New York, and I ran to this national commercial audition. And I got there at 5 o'clock, and they were putting the keys to lock the doors. And I went, I just got off a plane from L.A. I'm perfect for this thing. They went, no. I said, look, I'm telling you, I'm perfect. You got to let me. He goes, and they look at each other. The guy goes, you know, he is perfect. I said, okay. They opened back the door. They set up the camera. They did this for me. Wow. I'm not famous. They take the and as they're doing it, they're talking to each other. The guy goes, after it's over, he goes, would you believe this? You are perfect. What is your agent? Get his agent. Where is his? Get his agent. You are perfect. I cannot believe serendipity. What we did, we let him, and you just got off the plane. So that's how, and I left. And he goes, bye, and they wave goodbye to me, and I'm heading towards the train.
I
got this. I'm saying to myself, I got it, right? I call my agent. I got it. Forget it. He goes, really? I go, listen to me. Not a callback. Wow. Not even a callback.
No explanation. To this day, you're still thinking about it.
Not a callback. Not nothing. That's zero.
Crazy.
So after that moment, I said, I will never think I got it.
Definitely got it. That's a good story.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So you got to tell me, what was the moment you knew you had it in your pen? You told your parents. When did you find out?
Oh, so my agent called me and he said, they want you. And if you want to take it, it's yours. And then I couldn't believe. So again, my first time doing a musical. So I'm so excited. I'm thinking, oh, what is it?
You got the call by yourself? Were you alone?
I was alone. I got it. My agent called me and I called my mom and dad and they were so excited. But so then we start looking at my agent sends me the dates. I had no idea the work ethic you need to do musical theater. So I'm looking, I'm going, wait a minute. 8 shows a week. I started freaking out. I'm like, I don't know if I could sing them. I started listening to the songs I had to sing. I'm like, that's going to be really difficult. And it was, but it was so much fun. And it strengthened my voice. Like, unbelievable. Yeah, like, I've gone on tours. I've sung, behind bands. And but something about doing those type of songs every day, 8 days a week,
The good thing is it's not that many songs.
Right.
So you could do it. Exactly. You can let it out.
Right.
Rest.
It was that one big, I got
that. That one big one.
Yeah, that one big song. But it was, what an experience it was. I'll never forget it. And it's...
So when you told your parents, they were...
Oh, yeah. Through the roof. My dad, there was a couple times. So I have 3 moments where my dad was the most excited for me in my life. I won American Idol. I got a Bronx Tale, and then I sang the national anthem at a Yankee game. Those 3 things.
Whoa, that was it. That's big time.
That was it. That's all he cared about. When I stepped foot on that stadium, he was like, all right, you're good.
He's good. So I have to tell my the fans out there, the people out there, really try to see Nick Frattiani in person because he's truly a great singer, great songs. If you can see him, again, go to your website.
Yep. My social media, but NickFrattiani.com, whatever's easier.
And he's just an incredible talent.
I do have one more question. Sure. You mentioned your dad's a big music guy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever written with him?
Oh, yeah. We've actually, me and my dad, if you go and see me play, there's a 50% chance my dad will somehow end up on that stage. when I tell you, when you're done, YouTube me and my father a couple of songs, but we do Christmas tours, so we've sung a lot of Christmas songs together. That's like our big thing. So we had one video, funny story, we sang, Alleluia, the song.
Yeah,
Alleluia.
Sure.
So my dad wanted to do a duet with me one time, and he said, I want to do this song. I have an idea. I know how I want to sing it, how you're going to sing it. He knows what he wants. So I said, all right, for Christmas, we'll do it. It's about 4 years ago. And we sing it, and we do it at a church, and we record it all and film it. He puts it out, and it starts going. Like, when you can see when things are views, boom, boom, boom. It's one day, 1 million. The next day, 1.5 million views. So now he's, like, in his and he loves it. So we hit at one point. So he goes, so what happens now? Like, what do you mean, what happened? Nothing. You hope nothing you get more happened. Views? Nothing. It's just views. Like, they don't do nothing. I go, no, nothing happens. And then... But now, so he always tells me, he goes, listen, if you want the views, you better put me in the video.
You know what? He's absolutely right, because you never know, because, I'm on TikTok and all that stuff, And my son goes, hey, Dad, do something with me. I'll get you a lot of. We'll get a lot of views.
One of them you had did they, get a ton.
They know. Right? Oh yeah, got a couple of million.
I forgot what
he
it
goes.
Was.
Yeah, just we. My son, he was in the Godfather Harlem with me, and we had our regular clothes on. And he goes, just jump up. I go, what about? What do you want me to jump? He goes, yeah, jump. So we both jump, and then when we were dressed, we jumped up again, and he put it together. And
they edited it, and he's
a stupid little thing. And I'm over here doing these other things, talking about life. You know, it gets like 8,000. This thing, stupid thing like this, we get 2 million.
Yeah, it's a different
and
world.
And I go, the world is run by 15-year-old girls and TikTok. My producer, Michael, said that. They are running the world.
Think about that. It's kind of
I'd rather them in charge. I'm fine. What do you say?
So, Nick, it was great having you. It was great meeting Lauren, your girlfriend. And and it's you're a testament, and so is Lauren, about actors. And I like to bring on people who just show up. Mm-hmm. You show up in life, you get successful. All right, you've been listening to the Chaz Palminteri Podcast. Don't forget, subscribe if you like what you're hearing. And Neighborhood Logic, go to Chaz Palminteri, Chaz Palminteri Show at gmail.com. Ask any question you like. And don't forget my national tour. Actually, it's more than that. Yeah, it's my national tour starts in July. Go to chazpalminteri.net for dates. God bless. Thank you.